Please take up your Bibles once again and turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 5. The book of Numbers, chapter 5. Old Testament book, the fourth book of Moses. Numbers, chapter 5. We're going to be reading the first three verses here this morning. Numbers, chapter 5. Now, in the book of Numbers, here in chapter 5, you find this little ditty touching the subject of leprosy. And again, remember, when we talk about leprosy in the scriptures, we are not talking about Hansen's disease, which is leprosy, but we're talking on a wide range of microbacterium skin infections, which, left to themselves, left the victim grossly disfigured and had a real negative impact upon their life if it was not treated and if it was allowed to go wild. Notice this reference here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel. Now think of COVID-19, that they put out of the camp every leper or every infectious person, and everyone that hath an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the dead. Now notice these added things that come into the picture. You got full-blown skin infections mentioned. But we're also going to get into the fact of a bodily fluid issue in chapters 13, 14, and 15 of Leviticus. So just bear with me. I just ask for your humble patience and a teachable spirit. Okay? We may get off the ground here today a little slow, and then things are going to pick up. So just bear with me. But then notice, defiled by the dead. God had a stipulation that you were not to touch a dead body, whether it was a dead animal or, in some cases, a dead person. And if you did, you would be pronounced unclean and had to go through a possible period of quarantine until the priest judged that you were clean and worthy enough to get back into the community once again. So notice, not just leprosy is brought into the picture. You got to add bodily discharges, okay, and touching a dead thing. Both male and female shall ye put out without the camp, shall ye put them, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell. So notice, God dwells in the midst of his people. And so God is not only addressing, now listen carefully if you haven't caught it, God is not only addressing a physical ailment that needed to be given physical attention, but did you catch in verses 3? One of the reasons why God wanted these infectious people to be removed out of the camp and placed in quarantine, I dwell among my people. I am holy. They are unclean. And so here God wants to show, spiritually speaking, while using a physical situation, God brings it over and applies it spiritually. I am holy. And your sins in the camp make you defiled and unclean in my presence. And if you desire intimate fellowship with me, and if you desire me to dwell in the midst of you people, then you have to be a people who are not defiled by sin. Did you catch that in verse 3? Do you have the spiritual perception to see that? And the children of Israel did so, and put them out without the camp, as the Lord spake unto Moses, so did the children of Israel. And to my knowledge, in the book of Numbers, that is the only place leprosy is touched upon, in the book of Numbers. Just a quick blip. But the blip says more than just blip. It mentions two other possible situations that are brought to the table. Okay, bodily fluids being secreted from the body. Now that would include blood, that would include pus, and in these chapters we're going to study, I don't want to be offensive, but it even refers to male sperm coming out of a man. As soon as the lovemaking was done, after having intimacy, God required both of them to take a shower or a bath in running water. We're going to go, yeah, that's in there. And we're not going to sanitize it. This pastor ain't going to sanitize it, but I'll be careful with my language. Even that's mentioned in this section, bodily fluids. He wrote it, not me. Well, in the last hour, I've given the justification of what I'm doing in this little mini-series. We're going to put everything else off to the side, and we're going to tackle this COVID-19 that has now paralyzed this country. It has robbed people of their jobs. It has robbed the people of their businesses. And above all, I believe COVID-19 in the hands of wicked, evil, malevolent elected officials have used it to their advantage to destroy our humanity, to make us less human than the way God made us. Less loving, less caring, less compassionate, because we cannot reach out and hug one another without keeping 6 feet apart or wearing all type of clothing and restrictive gear in order to save ourselves from one another. They are using this virus, beloved, to destroy this country from within, to destroy the church with its ridiculous restrictions on how many people can be in attendance to church, whether you can sing or not to sing. Threats of being placed into jail, threats with fines, threats with cutting off the water and the heat and the electricity to your church buildings. They are treating us as if we're dogs or animals or slaves. And in the evening time, these democratic, pro-liberal, pro-Marxist, pro-communist leaders are sipping their champagne or their sherry, laughing their heads off in the evening in their homes, while they laugh their heads off when they see the common man in the street suffering and losing their humanity by the foolish restrictions and the requirements that they have placed upon us. Restrictions and requirements that are even beyond the scriptures, as we shall see. Way beyond the scriptures. Not only do they want to destroy our president, not only do they want to destroy our economy, they want to bring the American population to such a state of need and dependency that the government can finally come in and be the unconditional big brother of everyone from grave to tomb. That's their aim. And one of their aims is to destroy the church by putting on these ridiculous restrictions. In this series, we're going to be studying Leviticus 13, 14, and 15. We're going to consider the fact that the Levites, the priests, acted as the attendant physician or the doctor that was on duty. We're going to look at the sick person and how that person was diagnosed. What signs and symptoms did the priest have to look for in order to make a diagnosis? We're going to see set procedures. Ironically, according to God, the only individual that needed to be isolated and the only individual that needed to have a mask on their face was the infected person, not the entire tribe, nor the village, nor the city, nor the community, nor the nation. Only the people who had the infectious disease were required to be isolated, number one. Number two, to wear a mask under their nose, covering their face. And they were the only ones to go around telling others, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. They didn't need people in the street shaming them and reminding them, you're unclean. That monkey fell on the sick victim. There was also set time cycles. Sometimes 7 days, followed by another 7 days. Sometimes you were pronounced unclean until the evening. And then you can return home. We're going to look at that. Washing in running water. Not taking a bath in stagnant water, but running, moving water, running water, like you have in your tap. Sometimes clothes were either washed or they were to be burnt, depending upon how far the illness or the signs of that illness was even clinging to one's clothing. How about that? Houses would either be closed down and fumigated, or if the illness came back right away, the entire structure was demolished. How's that grab you, having your home brought down to the ground? And then you have the spiritual side of all of this. Back then, animal sacrifices were to be brought to the priest to make an atonement for the priest to legally pronounce the healed victim, the cured victim, clean, and they can go home. And there had to have been a pronouncement of being clean. Now, why is that important? When you come to the New Testament and salvation, God must declare you justified according to the law. You have to be found innocent or clean to be set free. Notice how even in this illustration of a physical disease, you see so many corollaries to one's salvation in the spiritual realm. Well, with that in mind, let's go back to Leviticus 13. In the last hour, we just broke ground looking at some of the opening words here. So let's go back there again. Leviticus 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, what a man shall have in the skin, notice, in the skin of his flesh, arising. So it's something in the skin, and now it's rising, or swelling, a scab or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh, like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priests. So notice in verses 2, you have a situation. You have a for instance of a swelling on the skin, let's say on the arm, and it's quite evident that it's in the skin, not on top, but it's in, and now it's swelling, it's rising, okay? Then he was to go to the priest and say, Doc, check me out. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, if his facial skin, or whether the skin on his legs or his chest, his back, his arms, if the hair that was in the swelling had turned white, and the plague in the sight be deeper than the skin of the flesh, if that could be determined that it's much deeper, it's a plague of leprosy, so we have some type of microbacterium infection here, and the priest shall look on him and he shall be pronounced unclean. And that would automatically mean this person has to be shut off, placed into quarantine. Okay? Placed into quarantine. That's the assumption. You were to be removed from the community, removed from your home, removed from your neighborhood. And notice, the home in the neighborhood wasn't quarantined. The city wasn't quarantined. The whole nation wasn't put in lockdown. The only one that was in lockdown was the poor, sick victim. Verse 4. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin. Okay, so here's the situation where apparently the swelling is at the top layer, not inside the skin. And the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut him up. He hath the plague 7 days. So he has symptoms, but not the same as the person in verses 3. This person here, he's going to be quarantined specifically for 7 days. Now, not every member of the family, not even his neighborhood, not the city block, not even the nation. That's the thing that gets me with the current situation. You have these ridiculous mandates where everything ceases to move and everybody's walking around like they're bank robbers, wearing a rag or a cloth over their face or a plastic shield over their head, or wearing goggles and suits and gloves. Now, beloved, you got to bear one thing in mind. Back in this time frame, they didn't have all the medical knowledge and all the medical know-how and all the different types of vaccines and medications at our disposal to combat these illnesses. They didn't have a pharmacy next door. And this stuff here is just as infectious, just as deforming or defacing, and just as deadly. And notice, God is not requiring the entire nation of Israel to be shut down. They don't even shut down the tabernacle, where these sick people were coming all the time. They had to go to the tabernacle to go find themselves a priest who was a part-time physician. They didn't shut down the tabernacle. They didn't stop the sacrifices, which were performed daily, hourly. So their church services were not closed. These people had access to the priests. And where did the priests work and labor? In the tabernacle, and then eventually to the temple. You notice the stupidity we have going on today versus what God only required? That's what drove me to bring this. Now read on, verse 5. And the priest shall look on him the seventh day. So this person mentioned in verses 4 comes back at the end of the 7 days. And behold, if the plague in his sight be at the stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 more days. And again, this wasn't a national crisis. They didn't have a Dr. Fauci behind the microscope preaching doom, gloom, and the end of the world. They did not have a Surgeon General telling you in March, you don't need to wear a mask, and then in June and July, you better put a mask on. They weren't flip-flopping all over the radar. Notice, apparently, this disease is not spreading, right? But there's still something there on the skin. We do not have a complete cure yet. This person is still in the grips of whatever he has. And notice what God's requirement was. Put him back in quarantine 7 more days. So now it's 2 weeks. So maybe that's why in some places today, they're telling people to stay home for 14 days. Where do you think they got the 14 days from? 7 and 7 still make 14 in my book. Isn't that amazing? They're telling people to stay home, what, for 2 weeks? 14 days. What do you find here? 14 days. And the priest shall look on him again the seventh day. So now 2 weeks has passed. And behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him cured. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. Now notice, his clothes were not burnt. They were to be put in the washing machine, use whatever detergent they had back then, tumble dry, whatever, or put it there on the clothesline, and he's good to go. He's good to go. It's simply a scab. It turned dark. Okay? There's no bodily discharge. There's no blood or pus. In this situation that God gave, this guy is okay. He can now go home, but he had to wash. Verse 7. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he had been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, and the scab spread it in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. So even after the 14 days, if it's spreading, and it's not like it's mentioned there in verse 6, if it doesn't look like what's enumerated in verses 6, then we've gone from a scab to now leprosy, something even worse than what the priest originally thought some 14 days earlier. So now we have a more degrading situation. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest. So verses 8 ends with this illness not determined to be a scab, but leprosy. So now what happens when we have a case of leprosy? They're going to bring this guy to the priest, and the priest shall see him. And behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising. So you don't have a crusty scab. What do you have now? You have exposed raw flesh, probably with beads of pus or clear fluid. You ever see clear fluid sometimes, other than that yellow murky pus? Or maybe even bright red spots of blood. So now we've gone beyond a scab. It is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and he shall shut him up, for he is unclean. So notice, this type of leprosy is way beyond a simple scab that we read so far. It's also called an old leprosy. So apparently it is a reoccurring situation for this poor soul. It's an old leprosy. This person may have had this earlier in their life. And now he's to be shut up and to be pronounced clean. Now notice, the attending physician, i.e. the priest, he's not wearing an astronaut suit. He don't have a gown on, other than his priestly garb. They didn't have latex gloves. He's not told directly to wear a mask, or a shield, or goggles. He's wearing his natural attire. And he has to look at this guy. Probably hold the hand or hold some part of the body limb to get a good look at what's going on, and then immediately wash himself in running water. Notice also too, the only one that's being diagnosed is the person with the symptoms, not the entire town, not the entire tribe, not the entire village, not the entire city, and not the entire nation. That's what kept on ringing in my mind as I read this. The only one who's quarantined, the only one who's being pronounced unclean, is the poor soul with the ailment and with the symptoms. And the community is not put upon with stupid, idiotic restrictions and mandates to make life miserable, all because of this one soul, that they can quickly put off into quarantine and follow the procedures that God gave. Verse 12. If a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot. Now you have to say verses 12 is like a worst case scenario. This poor dude is covered from head to toe. Wheresoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider, and behold, that the leprosy have covered all of his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white. He is clean. Now, in the first ailment, the scab, if it was white, that rang bells and whistles. Notice in this particular form of skin infection, if it was white, and even if it covered his whole flesh, in this instance, he was classified clean. But, there's always a but when raw flesh appeareth in him, so you have exposed skin, exposed flesh, probably oozing with a clear liquid or a yellow pus, probably beads of blood, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean. For the raw flesh is unclean, it is a leprosy. Or if the raw flesh turn again and be changed into white, he shall come unto the priest, and the priest shall see him. And behold, if the plague be turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague, he is clean. So notice, this was a very peculiar type of skin ailment, totally different than the opening lines of this chapter 13. This is way beyond being a scab. This is some form, the Bible simply uses the term leprosy. It's some form of infectious skin disease that somehow just takes over. And notice, if the skin was exposed, raw, with oozing fluids, which normally happens when you have open flesh, okay, and you get the possibility of flies and maggots, whatever, attaching themselves and just having a fiesta, a free lunch, in that instance, that person is to be quarantined, isolated, and removed. But if all of these things are turning white, and there's no discharge, and no raw flesh exposed, then he would be pronounced clean and able to return back to the camp. And then it would be simply a matter of time for his body to heal where those outbreaks of those spots on his body eventually, probably leaving, just like with acne, a person with real bad acne, when all that clears up, you see some of the dents and the nicks in their flesh. Maybe this disease, when it was all done, would leave a little bit of disfiguration on the outside of the skin. I'm just guessing. Verse 18. The flesh also, in which even in the skin thereof was a boil, and is healed. So now we come to a boil. All of us know what a boil is. So now you notice these different, you got different categories of illnesses. So notice how wise God is. He just doesn't throw a medical book out of heaven and say, go for it. Notice how meticulous and how precise God is for his ancient covenant people. He's giving as many situations that are possible that might arise, and he tells them what to do. I find that amazing. Again, our experts, as I mentioned in the first hour, crying out loud, bleeding a patient in order to cure him, that patient would eventually die. It took centuries before people learned, or doctors learned, if you wash your hands in running water, you're going to lose less patients. Experts finally told us that the earth was not the center of the solar system. The sun was, or is. 1974, the first Earth Day. We were all heading into the next global ice age. Now it's 2020, and now they're telling us we're going to become a French fry with the polar caps melting. Poor polar bears are dying, the penguins are going to die, and all the coastal regions of the world are going to be inundated with 5 to 20 feet of water. Less than 10 years ago. Okay, less than 10 years. Now we got less than 10 years now to live before the poles melt. And then on March 2020, we were told by the Surgeon General, no masks. Fauci told us no masks. Then by the midsummer, put on your masks. I'm here to tell you, beloved, that an expert doesn't mean that they're wise and that they know it all. Experts can make mistakes, and they have made some gross mistakes that have led to the death of hundreds, if not millions. In the place of the boil, there be a white rising. So you get a boil and you get this white swelling, or a bright spot, white and somewhat reddish. And it be shown to the priest. And if when the priest seeth it, behold, it be in sight lower than the skin, and the hair thereof be turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy broken out of the boil. So this boil apparently gets infected to the point where it goes beyond just being a boil, and it leads to another type of skin infection, which has to have the priest pronounce the poor soul unclean in this situation. But notice the symptoms in verse 19. A white swelling or a bright spot. White, somewhat reddish. And it be shown to the priest. Then look at verse 20. Has to be lower than the skin. So again, we are below the top of the skin. And the hair turning white. Have you noticed how in these instances, hair turning white, where there's a skin infection or a skin disease, white hair, normal color hair turning white. is an indication of something that ought not to be there. You kind of wonder whether that still applies today and some of the infections you see going on in the world. Verse 21. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hair therein, and if it be not lower than the skin, so notice these symptoms, but be somewhat dark. Now we've seen that before, this idea of it being dark versus white. Then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. Well, there's your quarantine. Now, I know you're going to hate hearing this. Who's the one being shut up? Not the priest. And the priest is coming in contact with these people. And he's not hiding behind a plastic wall, like you see in the banks or in stores at the checkout. The cashier looks like a chimp that's inside the zoo for you to look at, for crying out loud. The only one that's being quarantined is the sick person. The tabernacle is not shut down because this person wandered close enough to the tabernacle to have the doctor look at him, in this case, the priest doctor. The village ain't shut down. Stores are not closed. The economy is not torpedoed. To see the judge or the king lose his throne because of the economy going bust. Compare all of these, what's going on today. You know, It's a world of difference. I think, beloved, that we are being played with. I think we're being manipulated. We are being played like fiddles in an orchestra, and the average American person is too dumb or too blind, or they don't care that the rug under their feet is being pulled from under their feet. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical expert. All I'm doing is reading and finding out what God told these people to do in an environment that was more hostile, with no remedies, no vaccines, no drugs, no medicine, no x-rays, no ventilator machines, nothing. They didn't have any of the modern conveniences of 21st century medical know-how. And God does not shut down the tabernacle nor the entire community because one person comes to the priest with this ailment. They were simply brought out of the camp, placed in quarantine, and that's where they stayed for 7 days. That's all I'm advocating. That's all I'm looking at. What did God do? What did God require in a disease that was very deadly, very infectious, and could easily spread? Read on. Verse 22. And if it spread much abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague. So that's what the implication is. If he comes back and this thing is still spreading and it has all the symptoms that led to the first diagnosis of being unclean, he was placed again 7 more days back in quarantine without shutting down the world, nor the community, nor the tabernacle. And if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not, verse 23, it's a burning boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Okay, so far, what have we seen? A scab, right? Now we come to something called a boil, or a leprosy, that a boil that has become leprosy, or in this case, a burning boil. So you see these different classifications, these different possibilities, these different symptoms and cases that the priest had to diagnose. And again, at this point, my mind began to think all the more. These priests had to have been very smart. Moses did not write, later on, a medical book with charts and symptoms to follow and answer a bunch of questions, yes or no, until you arrive to an official diagnosis. What do you notice about these priests? They were not dummies. In this case, they were the experts. And apparently, they got it right. Why? God told them what to look for and what it meant. And you wonder the people today that are driving the COVID-19 pandemic response. You kind of wonder their credentials, how wise, how smart, or maybe they are smart and wise, but they're using the crisis for the advantage of others to destroy this country. Call me a conspiracy theory, but my dear friends, I find it extremely funny that Russian collusion failed, Pelosi's and Nader's and Schiff's impeachment proceedings failed, migrants storming the southern border failed, Trump's tax records failed, and now we're down to the last year of his first enlistment or his first term, and all hell breaks loose. You don't smell a rat. You don't put the puzzle pieces together and say, it's awfully fishy that all of this Black Lives Matter, Antifa, these Democratic controlled states and cities under siege, thugs and anarchists running wild in the streets, killing cops, burning buildings, toppling statues, defacing monuments. These people just simply came out of the woodwork like overnight? Or was all this, my dear friends, all in the planning? Since the impeachment failed and the immigrants didn't stop the economy, we got to get rid of Trump somehow. We got to destroy this roaring train of our economy. How about we just simply let loose with a little biological warfare? Now, do you think that's possible? Or do you think I'm simply picturing a sci-fi movie? Beloved, we need to stop and think. Why in his fourth year, his last year in term of office, has all this stuff hit the fan? I'll let you decide on whether or not you're smart, or whether you're ignorant, or whether you're a buffoon. You decide. Ready? Read on. Verse 24. Or if there be any flesh in the skin whereof, there is a hot burning. Have you ever had a hot burning in your flesh other than maybe scorching it somewhere on steam? You have a part of your body that just feels like it's burning? I know when I had my hernia prior to my surgery, that lower part of my right side of my body felt like somebody was either pulling my hair or someone had a flame torch on my body. It felt like pulling hair, the pain of pulling hair, and the sensation of being on fire. And the quick flesh that burn it have a white bright spot, somewhat reddish or white. Notice this idea of raw flesh, the redness and the whiteness, versus what? A dark color. Are you following this lesson so far? Have you seen the relationship between some type of a illness on the skin that is deep versus on top? Raw flesh or red flesh or burning or a white swelling or hair turning white versus simply a dark spot. Have you noticed that here? Things to look out for. Then the priest shall look upon it, verse 25, and behold, if the hair in the bright spot be turned white, well, we've seen that before, and it be in sight deeper than the skin, we've seen that before, it is a leprosy broken out of the burning, wherefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean, it is the plague of leprosy. So we have a scab, we have a boil, and now we have this hot burning. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hair in the bright spot, we've seen that before. Let me get back here. And it be lower than the other skin, but somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. So there's another 7 days here. And the priest shall look upon him the seventh day, and it shall be spread much abroad in the skin. Then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It's a plague of leprosy. And if the bright spot stay in his place, and spread not in the skin, but be somewhat dark, we've seen that before, It is a rising of the burning, and the priest shall pronounce them clean, for it is an inflammation of the burning. So now all we have is an inflammation. We don't have, in this case, with this changing, a full-blown skin infection or a full-blown case of leprosy. We got an inflammation. And he can be pronounced clean. If a man or a woman have a plague upon the head or the beard. Now notice, now we're going to move someone's beard or on top of their noggin. Then the priest shall see the plague, and behold, if it be a slight deeper than the skin, so we've seen that, and there be in it a yellow thin hair. Whoa, something different now. Then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a dry skull, even a leprosy upon the head or the beard. So notice here, we're not looking for a white hair in a rising, swelling thing. We're looking at the head and the top of the head and the beard. The hair starts turning yellow. That's a red flag for the priest. And if the priest look on the plague of the skull, and behold it not be deep, and it be not in sight deeper than the skin, and that there be no black hair in it, then the priest shall shut him up that hath the plague of the skull 7 days. Now, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but so far we have gone through 31 verses, slow and verse by verse, line by line, on purpose. How many people do you find placed in quarantine? Is it the sick victim, or is it the sick victim plus his household, plus his neighborhood, plus his city, plus his street block, plus his town, plus his state, plus his nation? That's what kept on ringing in my ears when I decided to do this earlier this past week. Just got sick and tired of hearing all the experts flapping their lips and telling us more restrictions are coming down, less people being able to meet together. We're going to possibly have to wear goggles and gloves and plastic shields. Pretty soon they're going to be passing out bio suits, for crying out loud. So my question to myself was, what did God say about leprosy? And it's now led to this that you're now hearing. I don't find the only person here who's being given the most undivided attention is the poor chap, the poor lady, the poor child. And the priest is coming in contact with these people, and we don't find any restrictions on the part of God to shove these priests in quarantine, nor this priest going around wearing a bio suit. This priest is coming in contact with these people face to face. He has to look at them to make a diagnosis. He has to touch them. He has to look. Get really close to look and make a diagnosis. And the only person that's being attended to with any restrictions or requirements is the person with the symptoms. Not the entire nation. Verse 32. And in the 7th day the priest shall look on the plague, and behold, if the skull spread not, and there be in it no yellow hair, and the skull be not in sight deeper than the skin, he shall be, shaven. But the skull shall not be shaved. So apparently all the hair on the beard, that part of the body where there was a beard, or the hair, where that little spot was, they had to be very careful when that was not to be shaved, because if you were to cut that, you would expose it and get infected. How's that grab you? For 1400 BC medicine. But the rest of the hair had to be shaved. And the priest shall shut him up that had the skull 7 days more. So after he's been shaved, and looking like a cue ball, he goes back into quarantine. And in the 7th day, the priest shall look on the skull, and behold, if the skull be not spread in the skin, nor in the sight deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. Now, why do you think they shaved off the hair? in order to see better what was on top of the skin. Versus the priest playing and moving hair and getting his hands, someone came along and had to shave all that hair off, the facial hair, the chin, and on the head, but being very careful to shave around the spot of illness, not to cut it and get infected. At this point, I was having fun in the study, like, wow. But if the skull spread much in the skin after his cleaning, then the priest shall look on him, and behold, that the skull be spread in the skin. Now, this is after he's been pronounced clean, and somehow it now comes back. The priest shall not seek for yellow hair. He's unclean. If this thing pops back up, the priest says, quarantine. We don't even need to do a physical examination. Didn't even need to look for a certain color hair. This person was automatically escorted into the home or whatever location they had. Quarantine central. You ever wonder who brought them the food? How did they take care of body waste in those 7 days? Chuck it out the window? What about their bedding? So far, those things are not yet addressed. But if the skull be in his sight at a stay, meaning it hasn't spread, and there is black hair grown up therein, the skull is healed, he is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. If a man also or a woman have in the skin of their flesh bright spots, even white bright spots, then the priest shall look, and behold, if the bright spots in the skin of their flesh be darkish white. Now what is darkish white? Now, I know what white is. I know what off-white is, or cream white, light white. But what is darkish white? Be interesting. It is a freckled spot that groweth in the skin. He is clean. So in this case, whatever it was, wasn't contagious and doesn't need to be addressed with any type of quarantine, any type of restrictions or mask wearing or whatever. And the man whose hair is fallen off his head, he is bald, yet he is clean. And that's my only redemption for me. My hair is falling out. It's normal. It comes with aging, but I don't have an incurable disease. And he that had hair in his hair fallen off from part of his head toward his face, he is forehead bald, yet he is clean. But I'm still safe. And if there be in the bald head or bald forehead a white reddish sore, or something else now comes into picture, it is a leprosy sprung up in his bald head or in his bald forehead. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man, he is unclean, the priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean, his plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent. Now notice this, you may want to circle this or underline. Notice this new restriction or new requirement. Clothes shall be rent, and his hair bare, his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. Here is the first reference of a facial mask. Who's told to put the mask on? Not the priest. Not his family. Not the whole nation. Look at verse 45. Here's the first time reference is made to the covering of one's mouth with a facial covering or a barrier. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. Now notice this, defiled. Now so far, the other situations, we were told simply he's unclean. Here, when you have the facial mask required, notice what word is brought into the picture for the first time in this poor victim. Defiled, unclean, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. you would have to admit, in all the cases and all the situations we've come up so far, this one stands by itself. This one has requirements unseen, unheard in all the previous ones that we've considered so far. A covering over his face. Not only is he pronounced unclean, but he is defiled, and his clothes are to be rent. You know what that means? They can't be reused again. Torn. They were not to be taken down to the local tailor shop to be remended. They were to be discarded. And notice that verse 46, brothers and sisters, he shall dwell alone. Now, maybe being put outside the camp for 7 days is like a quarantine. But notice in this situation, these are words, beloved, you don't find in the previous people. He shall dwell alone. That's only mentioned here. So maybe, I may be going on a real thin limb, maybe in the other situations when they were put off somewhere for 7 days, you had people who were able to bring them food, change of clothes, bedding. Why in this situation do you find these words added, defiled, and he shall dwell alone without the camp? These are words you don't find in the other requirements leading up to this person here. So this must have been a very unique skin infection that probably carried more punch behind its infectiousness. And this man was basically to be put out of the village, and he was to dwell solitarily alone. Now, spiritually speaking, the sinner who's in Adam, the person who has never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, the person who mocks the Bible and ridicules the church's existence, they even question or doubt God's existence, and they may be very vocal in their God-rejecting God's existence very, very vehemently, in their denunciation of the true and living God. Listen carefully as I close. We'll give a spiritual application. You've heard enough of the physical. If you're hearing my voice right now, and you are not a Christian, not a biblically classified Christian, one who has come to the realization that you are a sinner in the eyes of God Almighty. Spiritually speaking, you are a spiritual leper. You are an outcast to the kingdom of God and to the church of God. You dwell in a very lonely, solitary place outside the kingdom of God. You are a stranger to grace. You are an alien to the commonwealth of the true Israel. You are the enemy of God Almighty. You hate God, and God in turn just might hate you because of the spiritual fruits that come from your lifestyle. Well, guess what? I have good news. Jesus came to save sinners, and Jesus proved his ability to save sinners when he was able to touch people in the physical realm and cure them of their physical diseases. Whether it be leprosy, whether it was blindness, whether it was the inability to walk, whether it was the inability to hear or to speak, Jesus was able to touch these physical ailments and remove them immediately from that poor soul. And there are times when Jesus did two things at the same time. Not only did he heal them of their physical disease, he forgave them for all their sins, and he saved them right on the spot. Physical healing, spiritual healing. If you're here this morning and you hear me by way of the internet, I'm here to tell you, I got to be honest, because we're dealing with the battle for your mind and your soul. Eternity is much longer than living on this planet for 80 years. You are a spiritual leper in God's eyes. You have an incurable disease that religion itself can never cure. You have a disease that's going to destroy your soul for all eternity. But here's the good news. There's a priest who sits at the Father's right hand. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Christ. Flee to Christ. Don't put this off. Don't wait any longer. Don't let your spiritual disease fester any more than what it is. Run to Christ. Jesus said, speaking of himself, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do you want spiritual rest for the first time in your life? Do you want to know that your sins have been forgiven and you have been justified and declared righteous in the eyes of Almighty God, and God will further pronounce you clean from all your spiritual diseases and maladies which are found in your sin? Go to Christ, my dear friend. And for those of you who have taken this journey here this morning, these two lessons, have I convinced you to some degree that some of the requirements and some of the restrictions that we are being forced to live under don't even match what God gave people several thousand years ago, when they had access to nothing in regards to modern medication and modern medical know-how? But look at that verse 45 and that 46. Defiled, unclean, rent his clothes, and he was to be what? Left alone, isolated, quarantined for 7 days. My dear friend, what a real sad condition to be in. Well, may God choose to bless his word, and may you receive fresh encouragement that God knows much better than the experts. And I think that we can leave it there this morning. God knows better.